And welcome to the Sportscast, May 14th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It'll help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. You'll see all our news, the podcast, all about what Victor looks like. He's actually, anyways, the Eastern and Western Conference finals are set. Between the Toronto Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks, and in the West, the Portland Trail Blazers and the Golden State Warriors. So far, this playoffs has been like magnificent. Is it because with no LeBron? No, let's not get into that debate. Anyways, to join us today, Victor Orocho, welcome back to the Sportscast.
As always, thank you very much. You know, I enjoy the show. I enjoy being a regular guest. So it's been good basketball.
Hasn't been like the best semifinals you've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the point that you start, like, you were so excited that there's a game every other day, and now it's getting shortened and shortened and shortened.
Yeah, last night was boring for me.
Exactly.
I mean, I think the NHL was on, but I didn't care much about them.
Nah, me either.
Okay, let's look, drive in to the first matchup, which is tonight. And, of course, the NBA lottery is tonight, but we'll talk about that later. Between the Portland Trail Blazers and the Golden State Warriors. Now, I see this series pretty – it's a Curry, you know, Curry versus Curry. We're seeing KD off for at least two games. This is the first time this Blazer team makes it to the Western Conference Finals. I think it's the first time since 2000 when Scottie Pippen was there. How do you see this series? Is it going to be close or is it going to be a blowout?
I don't understand when you say close or a blowout. Are you saying that they're going to win more than it's not going to go to game seven? Or
close meaning going all the way to game seven. And a blowout could be like in five or four games.
I don't think it's going to go game seven. I think max six, if that.
And who's going to win it?
Oh, Golden State.
But yeah, by far. Do you see the KD factor significant here? Do you think this works an advantage of Portland, or it doesn't really matter?
Not having a player like KD is always, you know, you can't replace that. But in one sense, I'm not going to say that. But in the other sense, I don't think it's going to matter. I think Steve Kerr is a phenomenal coach. I think that the bench demonstrated – you know, how much they can contribute. I was listening that, you know, a lot of the bench players, you know, once KD had gone down, they were always practicing, but they started taking like absorbent amount of practice shots. So I feel pretty comfortable there. And then the second thing, it's not really against the Curry brothers. It's nice that they're playing against each other, but it's really good. It's Clay. It's the Splash Brothers versus Lillard and McCollum.
Yeah, McCollum. The Golden State has lost four in a row and five of the last six games, with the most recent defeat coming 123-95 to Oklahoma City at the Oracle Arena. Kevin Durant had...
You say Golden State has lost?
Hold on. I got the wrong article here. Oh, my bad. This is the wrong article. This is from a couple months ago. Okay, hold on. I think we apologize. Portland Trail Blazers with McCollum and Lillard, those are pretty much the two main guys. During the Game 7 against Denver, I really thought it was a very close matchup, but the Blazers pulled out at the end. And I think the difference maker was McCollum. He had significant shots towards the end. Do you think he's the key player for the Blazers now?
Of course, it's him and Lillard, but Lillard's still the main guy. I mean, you know, the announcers were saying, you know, I always like listen to the analysts, but it doesn't mean I like or list or believe in all of them. But, you know, Lillard still contributed. He just didn't do the contribution from scoring, as opposed to Harden would just not stop trying to score. So if you look at it, I think Lillard had 9 or 10 rebounds. Let me see. And he had assists, and he played defense, and he had no problem with McCollum, you know, scoring.
It's something that I really do think is going to come down to experience. the Warriors haven't lost a Western Conference playoff since 2014 and have a playoff record of 40-10 since adding Kevin Durant after the 2016 season. Being without Durant for at least the first two games of the series, but his absence didn't slow the Warriors down in Houston last week. This is an experienced team that knows how to win in playoffs. After earning a reputation as a team that couldn't get out of the first round, the Blazers are becoming an experienced team that knows how to win in the playoffs as well. They battled through 3-2 series deficit against Denver and became just the 29th team to win a Game 7 on the road. They have won games a variety of different ways, including a fourth overtime thriller and a series-ending buzzer beater, and seen several different players step up at different times. The Warriors are a different type of challenge, and Portland will need to be firing on all cylinders if they want to advance to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1992. It is correct. They have come down from deficits 3-2, from 3-2. Can they endure with the Warriors?
Not in the finals. I mean, you can talk all that crap you want, but once you're in the finals, you're one game to play for the championship is a different ball game. I mean, so I go back to Lillard in the game against Denver. He had a double-double, man. I mean, he had only 13 points, but he had 10 rebounds as a guard, and he had 8 assists. So you got to figure 16, you can't even, let's make believe there was no threes, but you got 16 points plus 13, right? Now you're at 29 points that he contributed to in this win, not counting 10 rebounds. I mean, the center had 13. And McCollum had 9 as well, so but he only had 1 assist. So I'm just saying to you that, you know, that shows that a star contributes in different ways, right?
Yeah. Obviously, the role players, Enes Kanter, another significant player that's coming through. Evan Turner, also a good player. And that's pretty. And then we got Rodney Hood and, of course, Maureen Harkless. But, you know, the main persons are Lillard and McCollum and then Kanter, which is the honorable mention. So, and also Evan Turner. Evan Turner is good. So, you know, looking at this series, I'm looking at a 4-2 Golden State win.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that.
And I think a lot of it will be Splash Brothers. I don't think Kevin Durant will be back in this series. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if the Golden State has it under control, I don't think he'll be back, right? He'll rest as much as he can.
Yeah.
If they don't have it in control, then he may or may not be back. I don't know. But
yeah. Like, if they're down 3-2.
You want to see a great performance by that bench again. And Curry, not Curry, Kerr said that he recognized that he should be playing some of these players a little bit more. So you may see, depending on how the game goes, he's going to go a little deeper than he normally goes in his rotation.
And keep in mind, when I saw Warriors beat the Rockets in Game 6, I told everyone they don't need Durant, and they did it because they out-hustled the Rockets by far. I mean, the Rockets, it was like the old-school vintage Rockets. I mean, old-school vintage Warriors, and the Rockets couldn't handle it.
Yeah, but you also got to remember, you know, you got to be careful. I mean, you know, I can't say that they don't need Kevin Durant, right? It's impossible to have a guy that's that great to say you don't need him. But I just think that it's also two things, right? It's not easy for a coach to have to, on a fly, change his entire game plan now, where his game plan was around he had to worry about Kevin Durant, right? And he was hoping that, you know, they were focused on not letting Curry beat them, and then they couldn't stop him in the second half. But what they weren't counting on was the unselfishness of that entire team. Right. And the bench was just incredible. Looney was incredible. So I just think that the Golden State without Kevin Durant changes their style of play, and the Kerr makes sure that takes place.
Yeah.
Right. And Clay was, you know, they keep talking about Curry. No doubt he went crazy. But, you know, that wouldn't have taken place if Clay wasn't under control in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, he scored 21 points, man, you know. So
Curry had 0 points in the first half.
Right, but Clay didn't. right? And then he surrendered it to Curry as he's going strong. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that they don't. It's not a matter that they don't need a Kevin Durant. It's just a matter that that organization and the coaches and the players are bought into their roles. They're bought into the system. See, where Portland, I think, is, I think something's wrong with them. I mean, Seth Curry had 0 points in that win, and he only played 16 minutes. Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, like the other day when he went off, I was like, I had to pause it to show my wife because she didn't know who Seth Curry was, right? But she knew who Steph Curry was. And I was just saying, look, you know, I mean, look at this guy go off, and God bless him with that family. So I'm just saying to you, I just think he should get more minutes. I mean, I don't want him to beat these guys, but I just think Seth Curry should get more minutes.
What kind of player do you think Seth Curry is?
I think that, you know, he's a marksman. He's a 3-point marksman. I mean, that's family is built that way. I mean, you saw him the other day go off. The problem is when you're not the superstar, he's going to be limited on his shots.
Right. You know, Seth Curry is definitely a special player. Played for the Mavericks, and now he's playing for a playoff caliber team like the Blazers. Before we go to the East, Houston Rockets, what do you think their future entails? Do you think they're bright, or do you think they fell back a step?
Did they fall back a step? I mean, I can't even tell. I mean, I kind of agree with what they like Stephen A. Smith when he talks about that D'Antoni system can only take you so far. He could produce a lot of MVPs, right? But he can't.
Can't go over the top.
We can't, yeah, I just don't think that style of play, you know. But then, you know, they were also saying, you know, I don't know what the real deal is, but they were just saying that Houston also, you know, they really enjoy the fact that that the team is winning and stuff. So, you know, they make a lot of money during the season.
They're a profitable team.
Yeah, so, I mean, you just, you know, as the players, you probably want they want their championships, but as the owner – he's probably just saying, you know, we're making money. But then again, he had a different, you know, he had the philosophy that I believe in. When you got him down, when you got anybody down, step on their throat and crush them. That's what I used to tell my travel basketball team. You cannot let up. And that's what his comment was. And then they said that in the huddle, like D'Antoni was like, okay, guys, just keep up with our shots. And like the sense of urgency wasn't there. So
let's go to the East. The Milwaukee Bucks versus the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors had one heck of a Game 7 series with the Sixers. I always thought Toronto was going to push it out. Maybe some people might disagree that I said Philadelphia, but I really thought deep inside it was Toronto. And Milwaukee, very excited, beat Boston 4-1. It should have been closer, but it didn't pan out to be that way.
Don't be a flip flopper, man. I'm gonna call you out, man.
Call me out. Look,
don't be greedy, bro. Don't change it. I specifically text you and I said, pick a team. You're like in between, and you said
that
you
picked, man.
And you picked Philly, and you lost. So that's it.
Yeah, I picked Philly. I'm a Philadelphia. I like Philadelphia. I have a lot of friends in Philadelphia. I don't have too many friends in Toronto.
Whatever. Is, but the, you know, don't flip flop on me. I'm gonna call you out on it.
Yeah, call me out. Yeah,
you had Philly, and that was it. I just didn't think Philly can was gonna get through. You know,
Milwaukee Bucks had had more days of rest, and of course they have home court advantage. How do you see this series, Victor? Do you think it's? I know it's Milwaukee's new to the game. Toronto has more experience. But seeing what Milwaukee did against Boston, it makes you want to think Milwaukee, you know, could possibly do this.
It's all going to come down to – it's like how I always see sports is, you know, the superstars are going to get their points. I don't care. I mean, they're going to get theirs, right? You want to limit that they don't have an explosive 70-point, 60-point game, you know, but they're going to get theirs. It's just the other guys, I always feel you can't let them beat you, right? So I just think Giannis is he's one of the best. I mean, you know, Kawhi is also one of the best, but the problem is that they're two different players, right? They're two different, like, their positions are different, so it's really hard to come up and across. So, you know, I just think Milwaukee's tough. Yeah, I think they're going to be the ones that come out.
The Bucks lost game one of their series against the Boston Celtics before reeling off four consecutive wins to wrap up the series 4-1. Of their four victories, three of them came by 12 or more points, with two on the wins on the road. Giannis and company simply took over the series after the loss and looked to carry that momentum into the semifinals. As for the Raptors, their outlook was a bit more concerning at one point after winning game one over the 76ers by double digits. They dropped back-to-back games. Fortunately, Leonard and company bounced back and stole game four on the road, then took game five before closing out the series in game seven on their home floor behind Kawhi Leonard's wild game winner. Is the key player for the Toronto Raptors Leonard?
It's no doubt, man. That's a crazy question.
I mean, Danny Green is, by the way.
Don't even ask me that, right? I mean,
how do you see Kawhi? Is he a superstar in your book?
Yeah, he's a superstar.
He's up there with Kobe?
I knew it when he was at San Antonio. So
yeah,
he's never faltered. Yeah, it's hard to say people were up there with Kobe. You know what I mean? It just it's really difficult for me.
He's not.
Yeah, the problem is that it's really hard for me to say that a player's up there with somebody, at least at this point, right? With so much changing of teams. You understand? Yeah. Like, you got to love, like, Kobe was the epitomized the Laker organization. You know, he didn't give a crap. He told his players, you're here to win. You better want to win. I mean, it was about rings. He didn't care about anything else. Even when he got his fifth ring, he even took a shot at Shaq. I got five. Shaq's got four. Right? So, those guys, and the thing is hard with Kawhi till he wins a championship, and he's got one, no? With San Antonio?
Correct, one with San Antonio.
And then, so that's one, so he's got one. And then the other thing is, it's kind of hard because he's so quiet, right? So it's hard to, you know, it's not that you need somebody so loud or boisterous, but, you know, like when Kobe spoke, he was an assassin. I mean, he called people out. In the book Tim Grover, Relentless, is an excellent book you should read. You know, Kobe got his nose busted and went to the foul line, hit both of the foul shots, and then went out.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, just when everyone compares anyone to, you know, I'd rather compare them to the players of today, like who's on the court today, right? So, you know, he's one of the tops. I mean, he's just silent and violent.
Yeah, he is silent. And, of course, like the last shot was impeccable. I mean, I was watching it. I thought it was going to go to overtime, but what did you think about that very last shot?
You know, it was just crazy. I mean, because, I could see if it hit the back of the rim, right? But it hit the front of the rim.
Yeah.
Right? So I can't tell. I'd have to see it real slow. Did it hit the front of the rim with 3/4 of the ball, right? Or did it hit, you know, because normally you hit the front of the rim, that thing don't go up.
Yeah.
You understand? So he probably also the trajectory was very high. So maybe he hit the front end of the rim so high that it came down straight and it went back up. But normally you hit the front. I mean, the back of the rim is what you shoot for. So that thing was like out of a Disney movie. I mean, it took four bounces before it went in.
Yeah, it was crazy because I was thinking one of the players could have, you know, just grabbed it, but no, but then be called goaltending. Because if the ball is within the ring, you can't get it.
And that would have been worse.
Well, yeah, they would give him the points.
They would have gave him the points, no point. And you would never have known whether that ball was going to go in or not.
Let's go to the Sixers. How is their future looking? How do you think this team? I know that Jimmy Butler is potentially. We'll be a free agent this weekend. this summer. Do you think there's a future with the 76ers?
Do I think there's a future with Jimmy? Well, yeah, I don't really know because I don't really follow Philly. But I just, like I said, I'm not a big fan of all this trading and going to different teams.
Back in my day, everyone stuck with one team for 10 years.
Well, yeah, unless you were a guy on the bottom of the bench, you know what I mean. But going to these different teams, it's just, I don't know. I feel bad. I always feel bad for the athletes of old because those guys literally played and then had to have another job on the off season.
Wow.
Okay? They had to they had to work construction or whatever, right? And they were just as talented. These guys today are making crazy money and God bless them. But, is it really that you just kind of keep going for the money, and you want to go for rings? The guy who got probably screwed the biggest in the NBA was Scottie Pippen.
Why do you say that?
Because he had a really bad contract. Go look at his contract.
I didn't know that.
He signed for like nothing. Like five. It was terrible. It was it was a bad deal, man. And
during his years with Michael.
Wow.
I got to read into that. That's an interesting concept. I didn't know that. I thought, But back in the 90s, they didn't get paid well, right? It was good, but it wasn't as it is today.
Okay, let's just put it this way. If you go back and check, watch how low he was in the pay scale compared to everybody else.
And back then, he was, considered one of the top players in the NBA.
He still is one of the top players. not now, but he's in the top 50. He's still in there, and he's a phenomenal player. There's no confusion.
So back to the Eastern Conference, I'm going to get Milwaukee.
So back to Philly. Well, let's finish with Philly.
Okay.
I think Philly's going to be good. I think Joel Embiid is.
They got time.
He's early. He also got to give him credit that he really backed his coach. He's an emotional player.
Yeah.
And when you have someone that wants to be emotional and he's embraced by the city, he's embracing his coach, he's just going to set a standard for that team. So I think they're going to be in the playoffs for years to come.
I definitely agree. And losing for 5 years straight to get these draft picks, Ben Simmons. To reiterate, Tobias Harris is also on the free agent pool for this summer. So, potentially Butler and Tobias Harris might be gone. Jimmy Butler, they brought him in for experience and be that clutch shooter, but there are moments that he did bring it, but at times he didn't. So, should they bring back Butler?
Yeah, because when he did turn it on, he turned it on.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right? So, it's just a matter of getting a guy that has the capability, it's the responsibility of the team, the leaders, the coaches, to get that greatness out of him.
Exactly. Well, anyways, I'm going to say Milwaukee in seven. What's your pick?
They're playing Toronto?
Toronto, and Milwaukee has home court advantage.
Yeah, I'll take Kawhi with seven, yeah.
not Toronto.
No, I think Milwaukee will win in seven, but because of Kawhi and just his ability. And the other thing is you don't know what's going to happen that propelled him after that game and shot.
Yeah.
You understand? You don't know if that's going to now take him to a different level, right? It's going to take McCollum to a different level. And, sometimes when you see teams that get those kind of breaks, it's like they start getting on a roll, right? Those breaks start, there's a magical piece about it.
Milwaukee will host their first Western Conference Finals in a while, or first time ever, maybe. And we'll see where this kid Giannis is up to. This is a very deep squad. Tonight is also, before the game between Golden State and the Blazers, is the NBA lottery. And the biggest, you know, superstar in this draft is Zion from Duke. And potentially, the top three teams that could get him are the Knicks, the Phoenix Suns, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. How do you see tonight's lottery? Obviously, you know, no one's picking tonight, but you think the Knicks might get it?
I don't know, man. I just think Cleveland's got, like, some kind of crazy luck.
They do.
Like, think about, I mean, you know, it's one thing to get the number one pick, but, man, they went, how many times did they get it?
Yeah.
Back to back to back. I mean, it's like, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, you want someone else to get it. You like, you know, I still got New York in my blood. You know, but it just—I don't know. It's like, you know how I picked Kansas for the college thing. It's like Cleveland. Just,
you know,
think about
it. Could be Cleveland tonight. It could be Cleveland. I won't be surprised.
If it's Cleveland, I am definitely going to play the Powerball because that's crazy, right? Would you agree that if they get it again,
yeah,
right? That's just like they got. It's almost like they got great luck in the lottery and they got shitty luck as a team.
Knicks fans have been waiting for more than 30 years to win the lottery again after the team secured the chance to take Patrick Ewing in 1985. I remember that lottery, and there was some conspiracy theories that David Stern, you know, picked out the Knicks purposely because they made the Knicks envelope cold or something, and they, I don't know, but 85 was the last time. And who knows? Zion might be their like their new Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, and they got cap space, so yeah. You know what I mean. So they got cats. They're gonna need somebody else with them.
Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving.
You know how I feel about that. I don't give a crap about Kyrie Irving.
Kevin Durant, you know, yes.
Kevin Durant, yeah. But again, I'm not happy with these guys going to different teams when you're a superstar. I mean, I just
want something new.
I just think it's stupid. I mean, give me a player other than Robert Horry, right, that is a superstar that has multiple rings. I mean, you got Kerr, right? But, you know, Kerr was a great player, but he's not in their league. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
You got Rodman. Rodman was, you know, he was definitely, an awesome, crazy. He was like a Pete Rose of basketball. But he wasn't in those guys' leagues. He was in their leagues of rebounding and stuff, and he was a difference maker, no doubt. It's just that, like, what superstar do you know that has, you know, a bunch of rings from different teams?
Anyways, Robert Horry has been mentioned a lot through these podcasts, especially by Victor. But anyways, anything else before we head into
game? By the way,
yeah,
he's the only one, I Wikipedia, in NBA history to have 7 rings other than the teams from the Celtics.
That's incredible. By
yep.
The Spurs and the Lakers.
No, yeah, the Spurs, the Lakers.
That's it.
No.
Oh, the Rockets. You were
Rockets,
a Rocket player.
Yeah.
Wow, exactly. That's right. 3 championship teams. Can't beat that, man. That's a good life.
So, but that's the kind of journeyman that I could okay with going and playing at different places and winning championships. I'm okay with that. But what I'm not okay with is these superstars that you have a chance to do something that hasn't been done since the Celtics, and they only had how many teams back then? You're doing it in an era where there's a lot of superstars.
A lot of superstars to the NBA. Anyways.
So stay at Golden State and win. They already showed that they can win without you, but with you, they're still a lot better team.
You know, we'll see what happens. I'm really curious. I think this whole Knicks and Durant thing's been speculating for a while, and I hope we'll actually like to see him go to the Knicks. I think the Knicks need some relief a little bit.
I just don't like Kyrie Irving. I used to, but no more.
Well, if not, he goes to the Brooklyn Nets.
that would suck too.
Ready for some game predictions?
Yes.
Tonight, game one, Portland at the Golden State Warriors.
Golden State.
Who will, and I had Golden State too, who will get the number one pick tonight?
Who am I going, Cleveland?
going for Cleveland.
I just got it. Just finished talking about it. Why wouldn't I go? You know, I rather, unlike you, I'm going to put my mouth, you know, I'm just going to say it. Is it win, lose, or draw? But I'm confident. You know what I mean? I'm going to pick it.
I'm going to go New York Knicks.
All right.
They didn't get the number one pick.
Vintage, and by the way, back to your point about conspiracy in the NBA, I do believe there is something to that, because how those Lakers always get these kind of phenomenal players was always amazing to me.
Yeah.
Like they need the Lakers to be great. The NBA, just think about it. You need the Lakers to be great. You need Boston. You need New York. Now, you know, Miami was almost there. You know, I don't know if they're in the same phase. Chicago. You know, it's just a different game.
A different game. Random question. You
know, I'd like to see L.A. Clippers, though, start taking over.
Well, they haven't won anything.
They won't take over the state, but I would like them to be, like, ahead of the Lakers for a while.
Random question. How do you like your donut? Ringed or stuffed?
Ringed.
Okay. I like mine with stuffed cream, like a Boston cream.
I like Boston cream too, but I like it ringed because I like munchkins.
That sounds good. And, Victor, how can people reach you to talk to you a little bit about Robert Horry?
You can talk to me about Robert. You keep mentioning Robert because you know I like that guy, right?
I met him, by the way.
How was he?
He's really tall. Really nice guy. Quiet. You just
narrowed it down the entire NBA. So they can reach me at, obviously, my website has a lot of information, victorarocho.com. You can reach me on Twitter at @VAArocho. And you could, have my podcast at soundcloud.com/GrowRevenue and Facebook/GrowRevenue.
Victor Arocho, this is the Sportscast. Follow us at TheSportsCast1. Visit us on TheSportsCast.net. Follow us on Twitter at TheSportsCast1. And tonight, the conference finals begin tonight. NBA lottery tonight, 8 p.m. Really excited. And we'll have Vic later on this week to recap what's going on through the NBA playoffs. And, of course, we'll have Kalu again. He was our first time on Saturday. He did a good job. He's a high school kid that he's analyzing the NBA really well and wants to be the face of the ESPN, but maybe the face of the Sportscast. Who knows? Anyways, Vic, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Well, I appreciate you as always. I love the Sportscast. I keep pushing it out, and I'm happy to find someone in South Florida that's smart enough to talk sports. Yeah. So I'm calling all you South Floridas out. Call to the Sportscast, and let's see if you can hang with my man, Santiago.
Hey, man, thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
Peace.